Welcome back, everybody. It's 32 after the hour, and we are continuing our preview of the various initiatives that are taking place all across the country. Today, we make our way down to the great Sunshine State of Florida and visit with an old friend of the show. We got Robert Platschorn on the line, Bobby Tuna himself. Robert, welcome back to the show.
Man, I haven't seen you in way too long. How you doing, Ross?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm hoping you are doing well as well. We are really excited about Florida's medical marijuana amendment. The latest polls that we've seen have shown overwhelming support among every demographic. Give us your take on what's happening down there as far as, you know, 8 weeks before the election and how people are reacting.
Well, we're all confident that it's going to. Course, we were confident in 2014 when we were polling at about 67-68% at this point. And then, of course, Adelson's $5 million came in, and we were blitzed on television with Reefer Madness, and we lost. We're not likely to lose this time. It's a presidential election. We'll have a much better turnout. In midterm elections, the only people who turn out are seniors and Latinos because they value their vote. I'm still a little worried. So far, very little positive advertising has popped up anywhere. And Adelson again says he's putting in $5 million. We have the woman whose family founded Publix. She put in close to $1,800,000, and there's other money coming in on the negative side. So it's still a little worrying. And when I met with Ben Pallara, who runs Morgan's campaign,
yeah,
and Morgan put up a lot of money to get it on the ballot in 2014, and then spent no money trying to counter the no on two. It could have been passed last time had our side been visible, and we weren't. So I was really concerned about this time, and I still am, because he put up the money, got it on the ballot again, and then when I met with Ben Pallar about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I said to him, look, I can get a lot of media time really inexpensively because we're a 501c3, a nonprofit, and we buy at educational rates. Morgan's going to have to pay political rates, which are like 4 to 10 times as high for broadcast media, radio and TV. I said, why don't you put part of your budget into the Silver Tour, and I can cover this whole state saturated on radio for about $150,000. It's really not a lot to cover this state, all 14 radio markets. And I got a pretty qualified no, like I did last time when I went to them and asked them to support a campaign that might have gotten us passed last time. But he said, look, Morgan plans to spend a lot of money on television and radio. And he assured me. And then he said something that really kind of made me wonder again. He said, but it may not be necessary.
Hmm.
And that tells me they're going to hold back what they can. So that's worrisome. I hope I'm wrong.
So basically coasting on the fact that the polls are around 70% right now, they think they don't really need to make the effort.
Yeah, the polls are better than that. The polls are around 77%.
Wow.
And that's like maybe 8 or 10 better than last time.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're going to have a much, much bigger voter turnout. You know, last time his attitude was, well, if the word marijuana is in there, the kids are all going to turn up and vote for it.
Huh.
Of course, the kids don't vote in midterm elections. And somebody who's supposed to be politically savvy is supposed to know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I learned back in 2010 when we were both begging people to support Prop 19 in California. that when it was over and we had lost by 6 points, which was a huge setback, it set the whole legalization movement back 4, 5, 6 years, maybe more, and it emboldened the opposition. But the reason we lost in California, I looked at the exit polls, and it was the senior vote. Nobody in California really bothered talking to seniors. In fact, they weren't talking to much of anybody because they figured legalization was a natural out there.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't as natural as we thought it was, and that's what inspired me to start the Silver Tour, when I saw that nobody was talking to seniors. And, you know, I knew it wouldn't be that hard to get them out of the closet, but yeah, that's my generation.
Well, you've been vindicated on the senior issue as well in the latest federal surveys that show, you know, people over the age of 50 are the fastest growing demographic of cannabis consumers now that we've embarked on some legalization. And, you know, I think you've been vindicated in that if the seniors have access to cannabis and know what it can do for them, they're going to flock to it.
The difference has been amazing since we put on that first Silver Tour show, and then we got on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and CNN did a special, and then we were on, you know, Jon Stewart's Daily Show. We've had tremendous, great publicity, and it's made seniors comfortable with the subject where they weren't before. And I knew in the beginning that for the most part, it was a matter of getting them out of the closet. Because 5 years ago, seniors would not join the discussion. They just, you know, that doesn't interest us. We're not into pot. And in the beginning, I live in a state that's got hundreds and hundreds of over 55 communities, senior communities. And in the beginning, I couldn't book a free Silver Tour show where I was going to give them a free meal, you know, bring a doctor, bring patients, put on a heck of a show in the rec room, and couldn't get in. Now they call me and say, oh, you know, our people would love a Silver Tour show. But it's made a big difference. And, of course, we had the TV show on for a year over about half the country, Should Grandma Smoke Pot? Seniors have an entire – I did a show a week ago Sunday at – an over 55 community in Boynton Beach. Nice, big community. This was a men's club. Their monthly breakfast. I had to be there by like 8 o'clock. Anyway, actually, I always start work at about 6, 6:15, and by 8 I go out and play tennis. In any case, 250 men showed up. This is a men's club in a nice private development. 250 men show up, and they couldn't wait to whisper in my ear, oh, I got some great smoke. Yeah, never gave it up. Or, hey, you know where I can get some seeds? Oh, I want to grow a few more plants. This never happened 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. Occasionally, someone would come up and give you a little wink, like, yeah, you know, I smoke. But their next-door neighbor wouldn't know. Now, they're smoking with their next-door neighbor.
Yeah.
And you're damn right I'm going to take a lot of credit for that, because nobody else reached out to these people. And it wasn't difficult.
Yeah.
The hardest part was raising a few bucks to get it done, and that's still the hardest part. And it worries me about what's going on with Amendment 2. I wanted to run a really heavy radio campaign for the last 2 months running up to the election, and I couldn't raise anywhere near enough money. Mm. It's like hollering down into an empty hole. Nothing comes back, not even an echo.
It's,
you know, when I did the public's protest.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. How'd that go?
Well, it went really well. The disappointing part was I never raised enough money to cover the cost of the signs and the expenses. But we did 5 stores in South Florida, and we had people in Orlando and Tallahassee and Jacksonville, asked me to send them up signs, and they do it on their own. We have people in Georgia, Mississippi, and North Carolina who also picketed in sympathy. And I'm a pragmatist. Anything I've done has had a measurable result. So my goal was to reach the people that actually run Publix. You know, the woman who made the donation, her family founded Publix, but she made it on her own. It wasn't on behalf of Publix. But somebody had to reach up to the people at top Publix and let them know that there are millions of people who get their prescriptions in Publix, and they don't appreciate a negative attitude toward medical marijuana. And I wanted them to put out a statement like Walgreens did. Remember a couple of months ago, Walgreens put out just a nice statement acknowledging that it's a real medicine and that it has a lot of promise. And coming from a company like Walgreens, which has always been a big supporter of Drug Free America Foundation, that was a good thing. I thought it was a major, major good move. And when we got to these public stores, in every case, there were like six cop cars there. And the manager was just out, had people out scouting for us. But it wasn't what it looked like. The police did not bother us. If anything, they were a help. They told us, you know, where we could picket and where we couldn't. And they were very reasonable about it. They pointed out shady spots so we could get out of the Florida sun.
That's nice.
And when the managers came out, you knew immediately that they had all been spoken to by the central office, because they all came out and did the same thing. They were nice. They introduced themselves. And they said, look, don't let your people walk out in that hot sun for too long. You know, get them into the shade. And if you need any, if they need to hydrate, don't hesitate to call me or send them into the store. I was really proud of the way the whole thing came off.
Well, what?
Everybody got along with everybody. We made a point. It was acknowledged by the home office. I'm still waiting to see if they'll do an announcement like Walgreens. But in the meantime, they've made it clear that her policy is not their policy.
Well, that's good news, and it sounds like a successful protest. Robert Platshorn is with The Silver Tour. Check him out at thesilvertour.org and follow him at Bobby Tuna on Twitter. It's all the time we got, Bobby, but I'll call you back again soon, I promise.
I'm here for you anytime, all the time.
All right.
You're my special guy.
Have a great day, my man.